The marauding bears had their choice between the regular and diet sodas left behind in the refrigerator. They took the regular sodas and drank them right down, but they left the diet sodas untouched. Those marauding bears lead us to ask, should we drink the diet sodas?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned to the 642nd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Cooktown who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with the Food Chain's very own Miss Idaho, Nikki James, on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Listen to that voice. Folks, last week on the Food Chain, we enjoyed a conversation about what happens when wild bears are fed civilized foods. A caller told the story of how bears break into her Lake Tahoe area cabin to eat the food she leaves behind. We have the refrigerator stocked with regular and diet sodas, she said. But the bears never touch the diet soda. They only take the regular soda in the red cans. Now, without consulting those bears, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved the use of 5 sugar substitutes as food additives. They is fulfame, potassium, aspartame, neotame, saccharin, and sucralose. These additives are now the foundation of a billion-dollar-a-year food chain and sweeten everything from soft drinks to toothpaste. But wait. There is an ongoing controversy over whether these artificial sweeteners pose health risks to the human body. Some say the sweeteners cause cancer. Others say they're responsible for our epidemic of obesity, and on and on and on. But most industry studies say the artificial sweeteners are just fine. Lacking any smoking gun evidence to the contrary, the Food and Drug Administration lists the sweeteners on its generally recognized as safe, or GRAS for short, a list of safe food additives. Some are reassured by the government's GRAS listing, but most are not. In a 2008 Harris poll of 2,600 U.S. adults, 3 in 5, or 61%, believe the artificial sweeteners are only somewhat or not safe at all. But what about those marauding bears? The ones that would not touch the diet sodas. They lead us to ask, should we be eating and drinking artificial sweeteners? Here to help us find an answer, we have with us the founder of Mission Possible International, Dr. Betty Martini. Dr. Betty, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Now, you have, what is that, a Georgia accent I hear?
Yes, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, love your accent and have to have you aboard. Folks, when I was sitting there considering why the bears wouldn't eat the diet soda, I got a white paper emailed to me from Dr. Betty Martini, and the title of it was pretty interesting. It went something like this: Aspartame Celebritoxicity, the Deaths of Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson. So I thought, well, here's my guest. Maybe she could tell me why the bears wouldn't drink the diet soda. Not with us today, unfortunately, are representatives from the International Sweetener Association, who declined to speak their minds today. I think they heard that Dr. Betty was going to be on, so they ran for the hills.
Actually, they wrote something in the UK just before I lectured, and they were talking about how aspartame is studied before it's put on the market, anything that goes through the FDA, and I answered it in the newspaper, and I said, well, that's absolutely true. They studied and studied, failed, and then the FDA asked for the indictment of the manufacturer for fraud, and even though the two prosecutors hired on with the defense team, the statute of limitations ran out, they still revoked the petition for approval, and it only got on the market through the political chicanery of Don Rumsfeld.
Wow.
So I've met up with these people before. That's probably why they don't want to debate me.
I would suspect so. You have quite a reputation around the world. Well, let me ask you, what is Mission Possible International?
Actually, we are a global volunteer force, and the U.S. and 40 nations. Nobody's paid.
Mm-hmm.
We just educate the public on aspartame. I work with the world experts who write the reports that you see on our website. In fact, Dr. H.J. Roberts wrote a 1,000-page medical text on aspartame disease that's dedicated to me and has some of the cases over the years. And I've been taking the case histories of the sick and dying for just about 18 years.
Well, we always ask, Dr. Betty, who pays your way? And I would assume that you're not getting any money from the G.D. Searle Company.
Absolutely not. Actually, I have a very fine husband. And when he retired, we're actually witnesses, and he was a minister. But since our ministers don't get paid, freely you receive, freely give, he had his own company, and he sold it. And he said, now I want to show you the world. But when he found out about aspartame, he said, we couldn't have this knowledge and not share it with the world. So he gave me his retirement funds to fund, you know, it was either save the world or see it. So, but in the meantime, I've actually gotten to see a lot of the world because I have lectured New Zealand and the UK, and I just lectured in Ireland. So I've begun to see a lot of the world trying to help people in other countries get aspartame out of their country.
Well, Dr. Betty, I've been puzzling around ever since a lady called the food chain last week and told about the bears who broke into her summer cabin up in Lake Tahoe. And the bears opened the refrigerator and they took out the regular sodas and drank them and left the diet sodas sitting there untouched. Why wouldn't the bears drink the diet soda?
Well, you see, bears are smarter than humans. They don't use chemicals. In fact, they know they get around poisons. They're not going to consume it. In fact, Don Harkins, who owns the Idaho Observer, puts out the Artificially Sweetened Times. It's a 24-page booklet on aspartame for distribution. And on the back, he's got squirrel scents. And he observed the squirrel. You know, on every restaurant table, you've got Equal and Splenda,
right,
and Saccharin.
Right.
And the squirrel took each one of the sweeteners, smelled it, put it down. And when he was all through, he took the raw sugar with him and left. And that is the case. Somebody sent me a study some years ago where they tested aspartame and sugar on dogs and cats by putting, mound of sugar and a mound of Equal, and neither the cat or the dogs would touch the aspartame. They know it's poison. In fact, actually, what I use Equal for is to kill fire ants. It converts to formaldehyde and formic acid, which is ant sting poison.
Wait a minute. Wait, you use Equal to kill fire ants?
Oh, yes. I mean, just Google it on the internet. And you'll see cases like one just recently that was trying to kill carpenter ants, and they'd tried everything. But Equal kills them right away. In fact, somebody called me from Augusta some years ago where there's a plant, and they said, why is the NutraSweet plant spraying their crops with their toxic waste? I said, well, it's, you know, a metabolic neurotoxin. And it'll kill the bugs just like it kills humans, and it'll make the fruit sweet.
Wow.
It's a sweet poison is what it is.
So the lady who called with a bear story was right on track. The animals won't touch the artificial sweeteners.
No, they know what's the poison, and flies won't touch it. Roaches won't touch it. In fact, someone recently made up a fly spray using aspartame and sent us the whole story of what they did, and they use it to kill flies. You know, people think aspartame is an additive. It's not. What it is a genetically engineered, addictive, excitoneurotoxic, carcinogenic drug that interacts with most drugs and vaccines. It is absolutely a deadly poison. For instance, if somebody wanted to get Dr. Roberts' medical text, you could go to www.aspartameispoison.com. He has that link.
Okay.
Because it's literally a poison.
Dr. Betty Martini, I received a white paper from you. Aspartame, celebrate toxicity. Deaths of Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson. Well, Michael Jackson died of a drug overdose of some kind. Farrah Fawcett died of cancer. How can their deaths be tied to artificial sweeteners when we get back? That's the subject. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Today we're chewing on artificial sweeteners, but we're holding our nose as we do. If bears won't eat it, should we? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831 479-1080. This is The Food Chain. We have Dr. Betty Martini with us today, and we're talking how sweet it is. Do you know that it's almost 600 times sweeter than sugar? Ooh, hold on, right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, bears won't touch it. Ants won't, or ants die when they touch it. Squirrels won't touch it. Dogs and cats don't want it. And yet, we seem to love it. We love it to the extent that we have built a $1 billion-a-year industry out of artificial sweeteners. And they now sweeten everything from toothpaste to chewing gum to soda pop. And yet, the bears won't touch it. Why won't the bears touch it? That's what the question today with... Where we have Dr. Betty Martini, who is the founder of Mission Possible International and the author of Aspartame Celebrate Toxicity, The Deaths of Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson. Not with us today is anybody from the International Sweetener Association who declined to speak their minds today, so heck with them. You know, Michael Jackson was said to have died of drug overdose and given him a number of drugs in his body. It's a little wonder. Farrah Fawcett died of cancer. And yet you seem to be asserting here, Dr. Betty, that their deaths can be directly related to the use of artificial sweeteners. How do you make that connection?
Well, first of all, what happens to them is, as you know, Michael Jackson was a Diet Pepsi spokesman.
Diet Pepsi, yeah.
Okay, so the first thing that happens is they start using it and they develop some disease from it. In the case of Michael Jackson, lupus, which is so common with aspartame, because it's an adjuvant. In fact, Dr. Bowen explained it this way. It's a little bit technical, but the ability of methyl alcohol, formaldehyde, to create an energicity, especially as combined in aspartame molecules, is so great as to cause severe autoimmune reactions to the tissues to form by formaldehyde polymerization, adduct formation. The immune system turns against the victim's tissues. Lupus. That's what happened to Michael Jackson. Now, once they get a disease from it, they immediately get on this group of drugs. For instance, lupus causes a lot of joint pain, and the phenylalanine depletes serotonin, which causes insomnia. And there have been more and more reports on Michael Jackson, and now they found out he was using drugs for panic attacks. That's what happens because of the depletion of serotonin.
Because he wasn't sleeping, so he gets paranoid.
Well, insomnia is just another thing caused from the depletion of serotonin, so uh-huh. Suicidal tendencies, bipolar. But insomnia is in there, so now they're taking something for pain. They're taking something for sleep. Then you have to know that aspartame causes sudden cardiac death. Now, the way that Dr. Roberts explains it is it causes an irregular heart rhythm and interacts with all cardiac medication. It damages the cardiac conduction system and causes sudden death. Now, that's exactly what happened to Michael Jackson. Is he died of sudden cardiac death, and you got about 5 to 7 minutes to save him. I mean, that's just it.
Wow.
So it was the same thing with Heath Ledger. In fact, I wrote a report on that, is he was using diet soda all day, and the aspartame interacted with all of his drugs. And I knew that by the time they got the autopsy, the diagnosis would be polypharmacy. So he's taking all these drugs, and they interact with aspartame. And that was the diagnosis with Heath Ledger. And it probably will be the diagnosis of Michael Jackson, is that once they get aspartame disease, then they keep taking the drugs thinking that they are affecting it, not realizing that the drug is interacting with all the drugs that they used. And this is in Dr. Roberts' medical text. There's a whole chapter on drug interaction.
But what about Farrah Fawcett, who was an obvious, obviously she died of cancer.
First of all, Dr. Adrian Gross was the FDA toxicologist. Now, this is years ago. They knew aspartame caused cancer immediately, but Dr. Gross testified before Congress, and he said beyond all reasonable doubt, aspartame is capable of inducing brain tumors in experimental animals, and that this predisposition of it is of extremely high significance in view of these indications that the cancer-causing potential of aspartame is a matter that has been established way beyond any reasonable doubt. One can ask, what is the reason for the apparent refusal by the FDA to invoke for this food additive the so-called Delaney Amendment of the Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act? And the Delaney Amendment makes it illegal to allow any residues of cancer-causing chemicals in foods. And in his concluding testimony, and I'm reading it direct from the congressional record.
Well, don't read anything directly. Just tell us what on earth.
Okay,
why on earth is it there? What happened?
What his point was, the Delaney Amendment says you can't put anything in food that you know will cause cancer. And he said the FDA violated the law. So here's Farrah Fawcett drinking Diet Coke. Even on her documentary, she was drinking Diet Coke. So she goes over to Germany and evidently gets some good medical care, and the cancer comes back. But while you're sitting there drinking a carcinogen every day, naturally it's going to come back. She might have had a chance if she had not been using it. Now, Dr. Siffredi did two studies, the Ramazzini studies, in 2005, showing aspartame to be a multi-potential carcinogen. And then, because industry rebutted it, he turned around and did another study. And it showed that all it takes is a small amount of aspartame to cause cancer. And if a pregnant woman uses it and the baby survives because it causes birth defects, he says it's even the cancer is passed on to the woman's offspring.
Wow.
So, you know, here it is. It's been on the market for a quarter of a century. From day one, they knew that aspartame caused cancer. The studies were so bad, I talked to Jerome Bressler, who wrote the FDA audit we have on Doorway with 1-0. And it's, of all the things that they were doing, like they were taking brain tumors, excising brain tumors off the rats, putting the rats back in the study, the rats would die and they'd resurrect them on paper. And they would filter out neoplasms, you know, or any cancer. And he told me, he said, Betty, he said, when they retyped my report, there were two mouse studies that were so bad, they didn't want the public to see them, and they deleted them from the Breslau report. And if you read it, you will see where studies have been deleted from the report.
Did they have redact it with black ink or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, and they also, where the graphs were. And then,
wait a minute. What if aspartame is so bad? What about the other four sweeteners that have been approved of as food additives on the GRAS list, generally recognized as safe list?
Well, first of all, sulfine potassium caused cancer and leukemia in original studies, so it violated the Delaney Amendment anyway. And then along comes Splenda, and what the study showed that it caused the thymus to shrink as much as 40%. That's your immune powerhouse. It caused enlargement of the liver and kidneys. It reduced the growth rate as much as 20%. Okay. Caused enlargement of the large bowel.
Okay, so before we go on, let's pick up David, who has a quick question for you, for Dr.
Okay.
David, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wondered what the doctor's degree is. Is she a medical doctor?
No, I'm not. I have a doctorate in humanities, but I've been in medicine all my life. I created the first health delivery system and had 200 doctors working for me.
And
I'm basically the messenger of the world experts I work with.
Okay, go ahead, David.
I guess, with all due respect, I've done a lot of reading and stuff, and I have no degree in medicine either, but I would not come on a radio show and bill myself as doctor whatever and not be a medical doctor. And
well,
I have to find that a little disingenuous, so...
Well, you noticed that behind my name it says D. Dr. H-U-M, so they will not confuse me with a medical doctor.
Okay, thank you, David. We're going to go for a quick break here, pretty quick, I think. I'm not sure what our timing is here, yes. Folks, this is The Food Chain, and we do have Dr. Betty Martini, who is a doctor. She has a doctorate, not in medicine. And yet, we're looking at what happens when or artificial sweeteners are put in front of us. Animals won't touch them. And yet, we are told that they are okay. Some don't agree. Most of us don't. 61% of us do not think they're safe. And we're touching base with Dr. Betty Martini, who has looked into the situation and is telling us what she thinks. We will be right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Hey, we're back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. We're talking about artificial sweeteners with Dr. Betty Martini, who is not a physician doctor, but she is a PhD doctor in humanities, giving her the right to think and to study and to interpret, which she has done on the subject of artificial sweeteners. And coming out with the notion that maybe they're not as good as they are we are led to believe. You know that there are $1 billion or so in the artificial sweetener industry these days, sweetening everything from toothpaste to soda pops. And we like it because we can get all of the pleasure and none of the pain. But is it really so? Most of us, 61% of a Harris poll of 2,600 adults, say something's not quite right here. But what really caught my attention was the fact that bears, marauding bears breaking into a cabin and into the refrigerator, would drink the regular soda pop and leave the diet untouched, as do many animals. So what is going on here? And we're talking with Dr. Betty Martini. Before we go to the phones, really quickly, Dr. Betty, I'd like to ask you about who's watching out for consumers in this subject. Who's studying artificial sweeteners? Is it the government? Or is the government watching out for us?
No, absolutely not. Because, for instance, I've already written a citizen's petition for ban 7 years ago. The law says you have to answer it in 180 days, and they ignore it. Then I filed an amendment on an imminent health hazard, which means they have to answer it in a week or 10 days, and they have ignored that for over a year. And the reason being is that they were the very ones who tried to indict the manufacturer. They know it's poison, and they have no way of answering it because I'm using their own words from their own documents. And back in 1996, 60 Minutes did our program when Dr. John Oney made world news about the association of aspartame and brain tumors. And they were talking about all these tests that in studies that the NutraSweet company did. And so Dr. Ralph Walton did some research for 60 Minutes, And what he found, that studies of aspartame in the peer-reviewed medical literature were surveyed for funding and the study outcome, and of the 166 studies found to have relevance for questions of human safety, 74 had NutraSweet industry-related funding, and 92 were independently funded. So 100% of the industry-funded research attested to aspartame safety, whereas 92% of the independently funded research identified a problem. So,
are you kidding?
No, no, we have it on Doorway. You can read it, all the studies. In fact,
so why do they dismiss you? Do they dismiss you like our last caller says, because you're not a physician, doctor? Is that why they ignore you, Dr. Betty?
Well, they don't ignore me.
Oh.
I mean, every once in a while, because everything today is a matter of public record. In other words, if you went to my personal website, which is mpwhi.com, and stands for Mission Possible World Health International, what I put up there are the government's own findings. On the first page, you will find Dr. John Oney's testimony to the Board of Inquiry, 49 pages on how to...
Dr. Betty, how does the industry stay afloat given, you know, the number of adverse findings and the number of adverse studies?
Well, the way they do it, this is addictive, very, very addictive. Free methyl alcohol is classified as a narcotic, causes chronic methanol poisoning. This affects the dopamine system of the brain and causes the addiction. So it's like having cocaine on the market. And they'll fight. They'll fight if they're addicted, and it becomes a cash cow, and they have bottomless checkbooks. They have always used politics, and I'm glad to say that they finally made a movie called Sweet Misery, A Poison World, and the attorney and Dr. Oney, who tried to prevent approval, Jim Turner, tells the whole story of how President Reagan, where Don Rumsfeld had to actually write an executive order making the FDA powerless to do anything about aspartame until it could get somebody there to overrule that board of inquiry that had revoked the petition for approval. So it was all done through political chicanery. I don't know of any other time in history where something was so bad that the FDA wanted to indict the manufacturer.
Yeah, the FDA says it has no smoking gun, to the contrary, so it lists the artificial sweeteners on its generally recognized as safe or GRAS list.
Yeah, but their own report, which we have on their stationery, admits to 92 symptoms from 4 types of seizures to coma and death. And additives by law must be inert or non-reactive. It's not supposed to cause joint pain as it hardens the synovial fluids, or headaches and seizures and coma and cardiac pain. All this is on the FDA's own report.
Wow. Okay, let's go to the phones and start with Mike. Let's start with Mike. Mike, welcome to the Food Chain. You've got Dr. Betty Martini and Michael Olson. Go ahead.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Richard Quigley was in hospice?
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe the rest of our audience doesn't know what you're talking about.
Well, he said he died from sugar. So what's the answer here? Is there no, don't eat anything sweet?
He died from sugar. Did he have sugar?
That's what he said. I remember him saying that.
I don't.
Okay, well, let me give you the answer
for
that. I was talking to somebody some years ago who was in the herb business back in the Amazon, and I said, you know, it shouldn't take a rocket scientist to make something that won't blind or kill you. And so he made a product called Just Like Sugar, made out of chicory root and orange peel and vitamin C and calcium. And then I worked with Dr. Russell Blaylock, a neurosurgeon, and he says, I want it analyzed to make sure there's no additives or chemicals or excitotoxins. And it came back free of anything. And he wrote in the Blaylock Wellness Report, finally, a safe sweetener. So the bad thing is that the American Diabetes Association and the American Dietetics, who are funded by aspartame, they push this on diabetics, when in fact it actually precipitates diabetes, stimulates and aggravates diabetic retinopathy and neuropathy.
Well, can sugar kill you?
No.
No. Okay, good.
I mean, there's a list of 78 reasons not to use sugar. At least God made
sugar. Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we get back, all kinds of phones, 831-479-1980 and 800-624-2665. Right back with Dr. Betty Martini. Please do stay tuned. Well, the bears won't touch it, neither will the squirrels, nor dogs, nor cats. It kills ants and flies, and yet we eat it in almost so many different things that we, soda pops, toothpaste, you name it, chewing gum, it's there. And we buy it up by the billions of dollars every year because we think we're getting a good deal. We think we're getting to eat our cake without having to eat our cake too, kind of, you know. 600 times, up to 600 times more sweeter than sugar. We're told that it's okay by industry studies, and yet most of us don't believe it. Dr. Betty Martini does not believe it, and she wages a crusade against it. And we're talking with her today. And we would also talk to the International Sweetener Institute, but they're not talking today. So we're talking with Dr. Betty Martini. Gosh, where do we get all of this information that's coming out that it's so good, Dr. Betty? Is this all funded from industry?
Absolutely. And they have front groups. In fact, the American Diabetes Association had a suit filed against it for racketeering, because Dr. Roberts, for instance, is a diabetic specialist, and he was with them for 35 years and told them over and over again how aspartame is so deadly to the diabetic. And incidentally, when you talk about sugar not killing, if you use too much sugar, you can get degenerative diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, before aspartame, people did use sugar. There was saccharin on the market, but you didn't have these epidemics that aspartame causes, like an epidemic of obesity caused by the fact that it makes you crave carbohydrates so that you gain weight. All these things are actually coming from aspartame and then compounded with MSG, which will also cause you to gain weight.
Aspartame and MSG sounds like breakfast. Let's go to let's go to Scott. Folks, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1980. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Dr. Betty Martini. Scott, go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Betty, for revealing this astounding truth and this cover-up. I suspect the caller a couple of calls ago maybe have called from the industry. I just
right.
wanted to say, yes, ma'am, I just wanted to say that I'm not a medical doctor either, but I know that guns can be dangerous. God bless.
God bless. Thank you for the call, Scott. Let's go quickly to Terry. Terry, welcome to The Food Chain. Michael Olson with Dr. Betty Martini. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, excuse me, Michael. Let me get the phone down.
Okay.
Yes, this is Terry. Betty, let me absolutely praise your clear clarity on this subject and your years of effort and erudition.
Oh, thank you.
First and foremost. Secondly, I've worked in Washington both in the regulatory area and also at the Pentagon during Desert Storm. And one of the things that the troops requested were sodas. And, of course, we shipped them. And interestingly enough, Donald Rumsfeld, who'd been a former Secretary of Defense, was invited in, you know, in a recommendation arrangement on consulting panels. And one of my duties was to assist him in things he wanted to have information about. He'd been an executive at Searle Pharmaceuticals in Chicago. In fact, he had become their president.
That's how he
got made the company, and he had lobbied the government, his principal activity at Searle, to approve aspartame and overrule FDA concerns, as you've made reference to. Interestingly enough, many years later, he comes in to advise the Pentagon about threats of chemical weapons by Saddam Hussein and significant things, and are we getting our troops enough petroleum to make the drive to free Kuwait. And to my astonishment, he wanted memorandum reports, and he drafted additional recommendations that more and more soda pop with aspartame be shipped to the troops, in some cases instead of bullets. he had us take weaponry off some of the cargo vessels and incensed that entire shiploads nearly full of aspartame containing sodas, but he designated the sodas.
Do you actually have these?
I know this for a fact.
Do you have these memorandums?
Donald Rumsfeld pressed for the military to ship now that's part one. Part two is the aspartame got shipped to Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, and of course it got stored in 110, sometimes 123 degree temperatures out in the sun. Even if it was under the shade, it was still stored nearly 100 degrees or higher.
Well, I had cocktails.
I think other listeners would be interested, Betty, in your informed analysis of what that would do. And this could have contributed to some of the Desert Storm scenarios.
Cooked
symptomology.
Aspartame.
Yeah, actually, that it did. And I hope that you'll get in touch with me after the show. I'd like to talk to you.
Well, let us all know. Are you comfortable giving your email out to all the audience?
Yes.
Please do.
Betty, B-E-T-T-Y, M-1-9, at mindspring.com, spelled MINDSPRING.com.
Okay, Betty, M-19, mindspring.com.
At mindspring.com.
Okay.
Now, the thing about this is that... on our website, you will see in the congressional hearing the protest of the National Soft Drink Association that aspartame breaks down at 86 degrees.
Uh-oh.
And it breaks down into a witch's brew of toxins. The methanol breaks down to formaldehyde. The whole molecule breaks down to diketokyperazine, the brain tumor agent. And the troops told me that they sat on pallets for as long as... 9 weeks at a time.
That's correct.
They drank them all day because they told them not to ship sugar. So I told the government when all this was going on and they stopped payments to the troops that aspartame has caused an epidemic of MS, ALS.
Wow.
And so they did their own study and found out that Desert Storm Syndrome was Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, just like I told them.
Ah.
Okay, have to take a quick break, folks. Right back. This is the Food Chain,
thank you,
and
Michael.
It's
great
getting
program.
Wild out here. Do stay tuned. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Well, the marauding bears had their choice between the regular and diet sodas left behind in the refrigerator. They took the regular sodas and drank them right down, but left the diet sodas untouched. Those marauding bears lead us to ask, should we drink the diet sodas? Well, should we? What do you think, Dr. Betty Martini, founder of Mission Possible International?
Absolutely not. Talking about desert storm illness, Dr. Blaylock, in one of his books says, in the case of diet drinks and aluminum cans, the very toxic brain aluminum fluoride compound coexist with multiple toxins found in aspartame, thus creating the most powerful government-approved toxic soup imaginable. And that's what the troops were doing, and they were drinking it as it broke down. And when it got on 60 Minutes, they said, there's one thing we don't understand about this storm illness, and that is that they had a burning tongue, and that's caused from the neuropathy as it breaks down. And Dr. James Bowen, who has Lou Gehrig's disease from aspartame, has written papers on it.
Wow.
So, in fact, I met Joyce Riley of the Power Hour, who gets the information out on Desert Storm, and I gave her the FDA list of 92 symptoms on aspartame. She gave me her list on Desert Storm, and they were identical and in the same order.
92 on each list. Incredible. Nick, welcome to the Food Chain. Michael Olson with Dr. Betty Martini. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to mention that to Betty, and she already, of course, knows that about Joyce Riley's reports on that in the Power Hour, so to confirm that. But the information I got years ago is that the Carter administration would not approve aspartame because they knew it was a poison. And like Betty said, when they Reagan administration came in, when Rumsfeld worked had worked for Searle, Wormy, he was still associated with him, and he pushed it to get it approved. But I didn't know that Reagan had signed the executive order, like Betty had just mentioned, and I wonder if he was even aware of what he was doing and executive order number was again.
Let me ask you this. There's been a lot of presidents under the bridge, as it were, since Reagan, and yet nobody has rescinded that executive order, and the stuff is still there. So,
well, let's go back to what he was saying about Carter, because this is extremely interesting. First of all, that when they revoked, when the FDA revoked the petition for approval, Jimmy Carter was going out of office, and he immediately wrote an executive order. It was not an abusive order, that anything and an additive that was, he didn't use the name aspartame, banned in the United States could not be exported to other countries. Now, if another country wanted aspartame anyway, it could be exported as long as they got information on how dangerous it was. As soon as he left, Reagan repealed that executive order because he knew they couldn't get...
Why hasn't anybody rescinded Reagan's order?
Yes, but if you go to our website, we actually have the executive order of Carter and how Reagan repealed it, and because of it, they had congressional hearings against Reagan for why he did it. We have gone so far, as you can get on the website and even read the affidavit from FDA Commissioner Goyen's wife, he died in January, where the Reagan transition team called him at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Well, Dr. Benner, we just have a couple of seconds left. Why hasn't anybody rescinded that? Why are we still there? Why is aspartame still on the market?
They took it all the way to the Supreme Court, 1986, because of the seizures and the blindness from the methyl alcohol. James Turner and the Community Nutrition Institute also petitioned to ban.
Okay, but I'm out of time. Dr. Betty Martini, folks, you can look her up at Mission Possible International or just Google Dr. Betty Martini and you'll get a wealth of information. Dr. Betty, thank you so much for joining us today on The Food Chain. Folks,
yes, thank you.
You bet. Remember out there, cheap food isn't. And see you all next week for more What's Eating What Radio on The Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.